Prince, our brother King, has come back to church.
Is she also here? Where is she? She's upstairs, so she's also back after a period off, so please encourage her as well. Excuse me one second. Hey, man. How are we? We okay? Today's service will be continuing our Hebrews class. And of course, last week, Ian did Hebrews 5, and this morning we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 6. And it's an amazing chapter. There's so much in Hebrews chapter 6 alone. And so this morning, I hope to just pick out some key points, but I'd encourage you to go away, read it, reread it, and really just reflect on it. Amen? Before we start, let's pray. Dear God, it is always such a privilege to look at your scripture. Father, please open our hearts. Help us to really understand what you are trying to teach us. Lord, we thank you so much that we have the privilege of being your children. Lord, help us have faithful hearts, Father, obedient hearts, Lord, as we read the word you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hebrews chapter 6, and it starts off, and it says, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ, and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instructions about cleansing rites, and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so." It seems like for the last 3 or 4 weeks, every sermon starts with "therefore." And you think, my goodness, this is important stuff. Paul is obviously trying to teach us something big, right? And in the previous book or chapter of Hebrews, Paul is speaking about, you know, Jesus being the ultimate high priest. Jesus being the only one that we now have our access to the Father himself. Jesus being the only way. And then he says, let us move on from the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. And so you get the impression that Paul is trying to tell these Christians, look, it's now time to grow. All right? We have a lot to teach you, but to get there, you guys just need to move on now. All right? This is a picture of my daughter holding her piglet, her favorite toy in the world. It's pink. She loves pink. It's fluffy. She hugs it. She sleeps with it. She absolutely adores it. This is my son. And every time we say, you know, son, we're about to take a picture of you, this is the face he pulls. I don't know why, but he pulls it every single time. And these are their potties. I'm not sure if it's that clear, but obviously my son's is the blue one. And so, you know, we're now at that point where we're potty training our children. And as every parent knows, it's a wonderful time. Everything on the floor is in danger. Your carpet, your kitchen, everything that can be hit will probably be hit at some point. And we're trying to teach them, you know, when you need to do your business, let us know. And then we'll bring you your potty. And to us, it's quite easy, isn't it? You know, if you need to do something, let us know. But of course, children sometimes take a bit of time. And more often than not, they tend to do their business first, and then let us know. Daddy, I need the potty. Amen, this is great. And then I see that actually it's already happened. And so there's this whole point of teaching them. You know, I'd be very disappointed if at the age of 5 or 6 or 7, my children were still potty training, right? I'd have felt like, come on, by this time, you should have understood it. Amen? And I think sometimes, spiritually, that's what happens to us as well. Paul says, you know, by now, there are certain things that you guys should really understand, and yet we're still having to go over them again and again. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 11, it says this. Let me get there myself. It says, we have much to say about this. In fact, it would be easier if I had it in front of me rather than keeping on turning back. Amen. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by now you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Thank you. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Amen? It says you are slow to learn. It's not that you're stupid, but you've not been training yourselves to be righteous. You haven't been using the elementary teachings to build your foundation, then to move on. At the start, I said Paul is trying to tell these Christians something. Although, now I have to say, the author of Hebrews is actually unknown. At this point, we're still not sure who wrote it, but the teachings are still powerful and relevant. Amen?
Amen.
Paul says, you are slow to learn. There is a lot I want to say to you. Well, I say, Paul, it's a habit. Amen? The scripture says, you are slow to learn. There is a lot I want to teach you, but you are not ready. And this challenges me because it says that to get on to maturity, you need to have trained yourself. It says that, you know, it takes a bit of practice. It doesn't just happen. And I don't know about you, right, but I love watching the films where the hero has to train himself. And I'm thinking of a film like Rocky, right? And they always have the slow-mo scenes where he's running up this long staircase and punching things and sweating and sit-ups and push-ups. And you think, that's awesome! And then, obviously, he then goes on to win a fight. And you think, that's amazing! But you know what? It looks nice, but it's not easy, is it? Training is not easy. It looks nice, it feels good in theory, but how are we at spiritually training ourselves? And he says, make no mistake. If you want to move on to maturity, you need to move on from the elementary truths of the Bible. Amen? And my first point is this. Well, in fact, if you want a title, we can say, where are we? I think my slides might be stuck, actually. Give me a second. Where are we?
Sorry. Yeah.
The joys of technology. Amen? That's fine. I mean, yeah. Amen. The slides are stuck, but that's fine. We still have our Bibles, right? So the title of the sermon is Potty Training, Enough Already. Potty Training, Enough Already. We are not ready yet for solid food. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? There is a lot in Hebrews. And so my main aim is just to pick out some main points to really encourage us and hopefully to help us move on to maturity. Amen. You look again in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And Paul says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and move on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. He breaks it down into three main things. He says, the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Yeah, instructions about cleansing rites and the laying of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And he says these are basic teachings. And when I read them, I thought, my goodness, they don't sound that basic. These sound like deep things. So obviously Paul's standard of righteousness is very high. And it's, again, I said Paul, the author's standard of righteousness is very high. And it's something for us to aim to, right? My first point is this. How strong is your foundation? Paul says, the foundation of acts that lead to death and of faith in God. You know, I've now been a Christian for 10 years. And there are still sins I struggle with that I struggled with years ago. And the same sins just keep on happening over and over and over. And at some point, I've got to leave those sins and move on, right? And the author says, you know, he's not expecting us to be perfect, but are we growing? Are we changing? Something I struggle with is telling the truth. And that's true. If a brother asks me, bro, how are you? How are you, you know, in this area? Most of the time, my first thought is, what's he going to think of me if I tell him how I really am? Right? Not that, oh, this is a great opportunity to confess. This is a great opportunity to have a clean slate. I'm thinking, boy, how are you, bro? Whoa, bro, I'm awesome. How's your faith, bro? I'm fine. I'm fine. Basically, afraid to tell the truth. I mean, basic stuff. And you think, bro, you've been a Christian now for 10 years. Should this really be a struggle still? I mean, really. A couple of months ago, my wife and I had a bit of an interaction. And interaction, right? And that's true, yeah. She asked me about a particular sin I was struggling with. And she asked me, you know, just straight out, did you do this? All right? And I stood there, looked at her, and lied. I said, no. Not only that, I put on this spin like, how dare you even ask me that? Have you got no faith in me? I mean, how could you even think I'd do something like that? Just completely lied. And then, of course, I felt horrible about it. I'm thinking, this is your wife. You can't be lying to your wife, right? And then we went to bed, and you know how it is, right? You've argued a bit. You're both in bed. You're kind of pretending to be asleep. You both know you're not, you know, sleeping, right? And you're just kind of thinking, I mean, obviously the room is completely, is pitch black, so you can't really see the other person. But you know, he's not sleeping, she's not sleeping, you know? And I said, honey, you know what? When you asked me about that sin, I lied, you know? And it was just really uncomfortable. Just like, you know, how could I, right? My conscience was killing me. But my point is, it's been 10 years now as a disciple. Should I really be still struggling with telling lies? I don't think I should be. How about you? Are there sins that you've been struggling with for years? And again, I'm not speaking about being perfect. I'm speaking about moving on to maturity. Are you leaving the basics of the faith behind, or are you still struggling with the basic teachings? And then he said, and of faith in God. So Paul, obviously, the author, obviously, every time I say Paul, I mean the author, right? I like Paul, so he's just ingrained to my thinking. The author says, you know, the foundation of acts that lead to death and of faith in God. He puts them together. Your faith in God should be motivating you to leave behind the acts that lead to death. Amen? How's your faith in God? It's absolutely crucial if you want to move on from the acts that lead to death. And then he speaks about instruction about cleansing rites and the laying on of hands. Now, see, the Hebrews is written to a very Jewish audience. And of course, in the Jewish sort of custom, if you had sinned, there would be cleansing rites, right? To make yourself right again with the Lord. And of course, laying on of hands relates to preparing people to do God's work. And so to us, it means how pure are our lives? Are we living lives that are pure? Cleansing rites as a Christian. Day to day, how pure is your life? Are you living the scriptures as you're meant to be? Or are you allowing yourself to be influenced by the world around you? On that note, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and go to verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. It says, let us throw off everything that entangles us, that hinders us. You know, how pure is our lives? Again, to the author, this is an elementary teaching. Are we reading our Bibles? Do we know our Bibles? If you want to live a pure life, you need to know your scripture. Are we praying? Are we being open with our lives? Are we telling the truth when people ask us, you know, how are you really? How pure are we living? Amen? And then the third thing he speaks about is the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And you know, you have this impression that there was a lot of talk about, you know, the resurrection and Jesus and judgment and all sorts of stuff. Now, I'm not sure if we have that struggle, but it is important to speak about it. Without the resurrection of the dead, our faith is pointless. Because the scripture says that Jesus was risen from the dead. And because of that, we have hope. Amen? And so, again, I'm not sure if that's something that you struggle with, but, you know, it is a key part of our faith. And then he speaks about eternal judgment. So, Jesus rising again from the dead is our hope of heaven, right? We persevere, we live, we want to get to heaven. But there is another side of it which says, you know what? We will be judged for what we do. And that's sometimes uncomfortable, but you just have to accept it. There's a carrot and a stick. As a parent, you know this. When you raise your children, there is, you know, love and punishment, right? We understand that. And it actually helps them to become better children than people. In the same way, the author says, look, you know about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. We don't have to keep on going on about it, but it's important. And you know, there are times when I'm not motivated by heaven. That's because I've got a hard heart, right? There are times I actually think, boy, you know, I really want to do what I want, right? I know what the scripture says. Absolutely, you know, don't do this. And my heart is thinking, I want to do this, all right? And there are times that I think, boy, but I also know the consequences of sin, you know? And the reality is, sometimes it's actually okay to be motivated by the thought of judgment. If it keeps you righteous, that's okay. Amen? Amen. So those are the three things that the author speaks about. So how are we doing in those three things? He says it's not possible to move on to maturity because we're constantly having to go over these things again. And I pray that as a church, as a people, we're not constantly laying the foundation of acts that lead to death. Are we growing? Are we repenting of the sins we struggle with? How's our faith? Are we cleansing ourselves daily and not allowing ourselves to be influenced by the world around us? And are we living for heaven? Have we got a hope in heaven? But also realizing that there is a judgment. And we have to make sure that our foundations are right before we move on to maturity. Amen? My second and final point is this. Onto maturity. Onto maturity. And in Hebrews, again, chapter 6, starting in verse 4, it says, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned." Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case. That things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Amen? So after that initial challenge, after that blast of, look, you guys are slow to learn, move on, he lays out some pretty crucial things, I think. And these are four things I see. The first thing that he says is, you know, respect the gift of a relationship with God. Respect the gift of a relationship with God. In verse 4, he says, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the coming age." He lays it out. Says, you know, a relationship with God is amazing. But are you realizing it? Are you realizing how good it is? He uses enlightened, tasted, shared in the Holy Spirit. All these things are amazing. And I think that sometimes there is a danger of us not really appreciating it. Are you respecting your relationship with God? And he says, a land that drinks in the rain. So there's this sort of a feeling of constantly feeding yourself with the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, constantly feeding your soul to produce a crop. If you want to move on to maturity, the author says, you know, respect your relationship with God. Amen? The other thing I see is this. Respect the warning. Respect the warning. In verse 6, it says, "If they fall away, In fact, I will go back to verse 4 again. I mean, just that whole passage is powerful. You know, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. I mean, that's quite sort of scary, isn't it? The author says, for some people, it reaches a point, and I don't know what that point is, but he says it reaches a point where it is actually impossible for you to come back. And brothers and sisters, you do not want to be there. You don't want to be there. Amen? Because as long as we have a repentant heart, there is hope. If you've reached a point where you actually cannot come back, what's the point? And I don't know what that point is, but the author again is trying to say, unless we move on to maturity, it is possible to reach the point of no return. And please, let's not ever reach there. Amen? The third thing I see is this: respect God's work. Respect God's work. In verse 9, he says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Now, I've got two questions for you, all right? If you agree with it, say yes. If you don't agree with it, obviously say no. Yeah, yay or nay, as they say. Do you believe that God sees everything? Okay. Yay. Yay. Fantastic. Do you accept, yeah man, yeah. Do you accept that nothing is hidden from God's eyes?
Yeah.
Yay. Amen. There are some times that I struggle to accept this. And I tell you why. And again, this is a sin I have, right? I mean, you might be able to relate. But there are times when I... you know, when someone does something good, something encouraging, and, you know, and they are praised, right? Say, bro, that was awesome, sis, that was awesome, great job, right? It might happen in church, it might happen at home, but, you know, there's like, people are praised when they do something good, and rightly so. There are occasions when I get an attitude. Because as they're being praised, I'm sat there and I'm thinking, you know what? I've done the very same thing. And I haven't been praised, right? And I know it's a shameful attitude, but I'm just being truthful here, right? I'm thinking, but I did that last year. No one said anything about that. You know what I mean? And I mean, you might have had that too, I don't know. But from time to time, it is something I struggle with. And then I read this and it puts me to shame. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. So the question I have is, who are you working for? Are you working because you like being praised? Because sometimes, just being straight with you, I do that. I'm thinking, wow, this is a great idea. You see, the idea might be a spiritual one, but the heart is in the wrong place. You know what I mean? Like you think, this is a great idea. If I raise it, they'll think I'm awesome, right? And just the completely wrong heart. Who are we working for? Are we working because, you know, deep down we actually like the praise? Or are we doing it for God? Are we comfortable that God sees everything? And even if no one ever praises us, the scripture says God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. Amen? And the final thing I see in this is God will fulfill His promises. God will fulfill His promises. In verse 11, it says, "We want each of you to... We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Amen. We are living according to God's promises. We don't always see them, but the author here says, look, we will inherit God's promises, but we need to persevere to the very end. A quick show of hands here. Who would one day quite like to go to heaven? Yeah? I'd say that was, you know, all of us, I think. You know, I mean, heaven, I cannot even imagine what it will be like, right? But I'm pretty sure it will be an amazing place. Imagine having constant fellowship with God Himself. Actually seeing the Creator for the first time. Like, wow! This is the God that I've been serving my whole life, and here He is. It's going to be amazing. And, you know, the author is really imploring us, encouraging us. Look, a mature attitude says, let me persevere to the very end. It won't always be easy, but if we persevere, God will fulfill His promises. Amen? To conclude, I have been a Christian, as I said, for 10 years. And I don't know how many years I have left on this earth, right? But let's just say for argument's sake, I've got another 50 years. Another 50 years on earth. And there are certain things I'd love to see in that time. You know, I'd love to see Arsenal win the Premiership again. It might happen, right? I'd love to see my kids become Christians. I'd love to see some grandchildren. I'd love to see all of us growing old together and faithful still, right? We don't know how long we have left. But if we persevere, the scripture says if we are diligent in the work we do, if we stand firm and mature in our faith, we will see God's promises fulfilled. Amen? Let us move on from the basics and just finish building our foundation. Let's move on to maturity. Respect the gift of a relationship with God. Respect the warning. Respect God's work. And at the end of all of it, God will fulfill His promises, and to His name be the glory. Amen.